Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
I understood loneliness before I knew what it was. All the pills on your table for your unrequited love. I would be nothing without you holding me up. Not strong enough for both of us.
I'm always asked why and how and who and what and where and when. Like, what really, why does it matter so much to me that people succeed? Well, I'm Carrie Hines, and I think it's something that I take on a personal level. Just like you, I had folks who might not have been able to really see what your talent or your vision or what you're all about was really about. And we need that support. We need it. I'm no different. But when I really began my business journey, I just could not stand by and let others fail. So I've done everything I can to inspire, encourage, uplift. And I think it matters. I think I see it here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, each broadcast, the responses, the feedback. And it's telling me that we're on the right track. We're on the right track. Support us. Pass along this incredible gem that we have each morning. Pass along what we do here and the economical opportunities to advertise and help shape our communities. It's up to you.
We'll be right back.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide and the longest-running hair and beauty radio show.
It's been a long time. Long time. We shouldn't have left you. Left you. Without a dope beat. Step two. Step two.
To me, what would you say to have your way? Would you give up or try again? If I hesitate to let you in, know it to be yourself or play a role. Tell all the boys I keep it low. If I say no, would you turn away or play me off? Or would you say, oh,
we'll be right back.
Everybody, it is my great honor to bring back to the show for the first time in quite a long time right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys, you hear her all the time. She's a big, big part of our success over the years. And you've gotten to know her as someone you can trust, just valued information out there. And she does so much research on our behalf, a very, very special contributor to our broadcast. I believe she's our chief contributor. We're talking about the one and only Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Hit Heart. Mary, good morning and welcome back.
Oh, what a wonderful introduction. Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Yes. Well, I think this is exciting. First, I want to just remind everybody, let's talk a little bit because it's been a while. Since we had a chance to check up with you on some of the wonderful things about Hair Hit Heart. First, just remind everybody real quickly, then we're going to get into our convo of the day, I call it. But what can you remind us about Hair Hit Heart?
Well, Hair Hit and Heart is a combination of a variety of passions I have and places where I lend my advocacy. And so I established that company in 2015. I talk about safety, health, everything related to hair, getting you through the variety of transitions, safety for the service provider, and I do some art related to those things, some folk arts as well and photography. But what I am doing right now, I have a book coming out probably in the beginning of the year. It'll be out and released, about salon safety for especially those dynamic beauty professionals who are out there on the front lines.
Wow. Well, listen, this is really, we're going to be reminding you guys whenever Mary's book is out, because you may be hearing it before then, you may be hearing it after then. So we'll keep you guys out there informed. But yes, safety, and this is a great conversation to get into this morning, Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Hit Heart, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, because times have changed. And we used to just sit in the chair at the salon, or even nowadays, you've got a lot of folks who are, at home doing hair care thanks to the internet. But I'm concerned about safety. Now, there was a huge story, and I don't know if you saw this, Mary, and a lot of you guys out there have probably seen this, and it was really such a sad story. It's about a young girl, and I think she was like a teenager or something, like a real young girl, who was having her hair done at somebody's kind of like a home or a set up shop. It didn't seem to me, maybe it was a shop, but the young person doing the hair services had not been licensed at the time. And I remember this story because she set some kind of heating utensil next to an aerosol can of some sort, and it
exploded.
Yeah, and the poor girl had all these kind of burns over her face and so forth, and it was just an awful story. And so it's still out there on the internet. I'm sure you can Google it, but just the idea of safety being so much an issue. Safety is always an issue, but
this was just awful.
Yeah. And safety in the home. Do you know we have more accidents in the home than not? So when they're taking the salon into the home and mixing this, that, and the other thing, it's a little scary.
It is, and it can be, and you're absolutely right, Mary. So I just want to say, you know, I'm grateful that you guys out there, Mary, doing all the work of helping folks to be mindful of safety when it comes to the, you know, the hair community or getting your hair done or work at the salon or any of those things. I'm just very pleased that somebody's out there looking out for the folks who are patronizing these businesses. So good move, Mary. Yeah.
Beauty is like an inherently risky business. And then what are risks to others, you know, like in the home and whatever, elevate to problems in our industry because of the levels of exposure we experience every day. So that's the big difference. Yeah, you can color your hair and you know, do whatever. But just that awareness is so important no matter what level you're practicing.
Yeah, you know, I just remember when back in the days, I'm not going to tell you quite how long ago, it'll give my whole age away today, but I remember that the folks at Chi Products, CHI, you guys know them, they have the red cans out there and everything is red.
Love the product.
I call them Chi. Yeah, they're huge. They're a really, really big company. I've interviewed them many times right here on the show. I've run into them at the hair shows and all of that, so they've been on our show many times. But one of my favorite interactions with them, they flew me out to Houston, which is where they, in Houston, Texas, where they have their big plant. And I had a chance to go there and tour the plant and then meet up with the CEO at the time, who I believe he's still running things, but I remember he was the CEO. And they really, you know, to me, they were banging the drum about protecting the rights of the stylists who were inhaling all of those harmful products at the time. This was years ago, and nobody was really talking about it then.
And they still aren't.
About that much. Yeah, and that's bad. It is very sad because as a stylist or barber, for that much, anybody that is constantly inhaling. Now, see, here's the thing with a lot of stuff. It may not be as harmful because it's infrequently used, you know, it's may. Now, it doesn't mean it
it's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. I mean, it's there. How you move it forward really depends on so many variables that it's hard to package. So I'm not going to completely say that the FDA dropped the ball on things totally by design.
Oh, well, hold it. We haven't even gotten to the FDA yet.
Okay.
But let me just tell you that I love those who are beating the drums out there about these types of things, but they're still doing it, and they're still letting folks know that, you know, and a lot more hairstylists are aware these days, because remember, you know, Mary,
well,
because
they're noticing, noticing their comrades are falling. Yeah, one in five of us has to leave our industry early because of these types of things.
Exactly, and that's the thing. And so, I'm grateful that many more hairstylists are aware of these things. And if you can be aware, then you are in better position to make better choices for your life, but also the lives of your clients. And I just think that is a great thing. Now, where we are today, and so many of these companies and corporations, it's hard to just let you know, here's what I believe has happened, where in America we just kind of let the corporations kind of govern themselves with this, where it comes to products and sometimes other things. But, you know, today we're talking about the hair products and all of that, and beauty products in general. And I think that that's been something that has become problematic to a big degree. So now it's all in, it's in the news everywhere. You can Google it out there if you don't believe us. But, yeah, the FDA is looking at banning products. Now, maybe by the time you listen to this, that will have changed, or maybe there will be some products banned. They have specifically called out chemicals like formaldehyde and and so many others. But let me just say, I think that's great for me personally. Of course, this is, these are things that most people in the country who are not in the hair business, like we are, Mary, many folks are not even aware that the chemicals and that things that are in these products may be harmful. And I'll tell you why. Because they just see a product on the shelf and assume, I believe this is the case, that folks just assume that the FDA, or just that it's safe. In other words, the bartender, or what is the alcoholic, is the bartender has to regulate himself and control himself. And that's the thing, and it's a poor analogy, but that's kind of the idea, that we make the assumption that these products are safe.
Yeah, and we're so trusting.
We're so trusting, and you just really hit it on the head. We hit it on the head, and that I think that's the thing. What were you going to say, Mary?
Well, I was going to expound, and, you know, I'm all for self-determination and safety, but these industrial chemicals, and that's what we're talking about with the formaldehydes and some of those others, they're called GRASes, so generally recognized as safe, or safe, right? And as a rule, they're found in beauty products that are unregulated, except if you are going to ingest them, if you're actually going to eat them, right? Then there's some rules in place, stricter rules. But many chemicals, like you mentioned, the formaldehyde, glycol, those are staples in shampoos and conditioners. They're absorbed through the skin. There's fumes that we use with our burned plastics, if you're still burning plastic. We offer sharp services, so things with needles, right? And there's no protocols or protections in place in our industry specifically. Although, like, if you were in a hospital, you know, there are some definite ways that you handle a needle. And so this makes the people who are using beauty products, especially the service providers, especially prone to overexposures and high risk of injury and illness. Around 15% of the people in the United States have HIV and don't even know it. And, you know, it's just dangerous just from doing our job. But luckily, you mentioned earlier something about the MACRA Act that that came about in 2022, so that it's holding the FDA more accountable for protecting people. So
I don't know. All I know is that, and what you had mentioned about the GRAS and all of that, which is great. Here it says online information with the GRAS are substances generally recognized as safe, as Mary pointed out, by the United States Food and Drug Administration. They say that the group includes a variety of substances. And I would imagine that to be true. However, many of the things that we have come to believe can be quite harmful have, in fact, proven to be harmful. My thing is that the FDA, you know, to me, you have to be your own best advocate these days. But I remember seeing a lot of the harmful products when I launched my hair company. And we started with our natural hair products. I wanted to make certain that we did not include the typical, you know, any harmful products with those chemicals and things like that. But I will tell you, my favorite thing, I saw a lot of them, the chemicals on the traditional shampoos that are in the supermarkets or wherever you're going to buy your shampoos and stuff, and they had chemicals going 95 south. And I remember the old days. I remember looking when I was a kid on the back of the bottle of shampoo that we had in the house, which was awful. I was a little kid, and we had just bargain shampoo, and I remember it had formaldehyde. I remember the word, and it had it in the shampoo. Now, let me tell you something. Anything you look at that has the word formaldehyde.
Run. Well, they're getting clever now. They don't only use the formaldehyde itself. They'll use a derivative. So it could be formalin.
Oh,
it could be glycol. It could, a version of it. But trust,
well,
if your hair doesn't grow in that same way, there's some kind of strong industrial chemical involved.
If it is banned, they have to also ban those derivatives. But what they do, like you said, it's the same way that sugar, you know, no matter how you look at sugar on the back of packages, you will never be able to figure out on food packaging if sugar is included, because they have an unlimited number of words that they pretty much, to me, it'd be like they just make up. That takes the place of it. The hide and fool the buying public. So that's my personal thing. I know that's a little
I've got help. Help is on the way, Carrie. Help is actually here. There's some, I know I had talked about this before, but there are apps now available. And I won't say the good or the bad, but there are at least some apps available that will read the label, right, and tell you if, say, something's what the impact is on a body of whatever. And they might rate them good, bad, ugly, or run, or, you know, 1 to 10, you know.
Oh,
they'll,
that's a great
they
idea.
At least, yeah, I had thought of it years ago, and I just couldn't get any traction and funding for it. But at least somebody did. So there's a couple of groups. One is called Yuka. Y-U-K-I, so U-K-I, whatever. Looks like a carrot. That's one. And then another app is Think Dirty, but basically they read labels and those labels can tell the impact or the effect on the body.
Yeah,
of those chemicals that are in them.
Amazing. Because that is what we kind of need out there. We kind of, again, you have to be your own best advocate, because, you know, it feels like sometimes folks who we think are necessarily looking out for us doesn't always feel that way. So, Mary, I just want to say thank you, because this is something that we have to constantly be aware of. We have to look to, you know, and I would be remiss if I don't talk a little bit about some of these things through the chemical straighteners. And that's kind of where this emanated from, is with regards to the FDA now looking to ban a lot of these products that are in the chemical straighteners. So I'm just saying, and according to what they are saying at the at the NIH, who did their release their report, the National Institutes of Health, back in the end of 2022, to all kinds of things out there. You know, this is a layered thing where the report essentially said that African American women were more prone to potentially develop at that time they were saying uterine cancer, but larger scope of things now is kind of linked into all different forms of cancer, and that's why the FDA is looking at really expounding this and banning these chemicals. And again, the only reason that they said the African American women, not that all, it's really not about necessarily the color, But the frequent use of the products that led to the potential danger, according to what they were saying at the time. So that's just how it was rolled out. Then we've talked out with El Mary. I've chatted with different folks in the hair business across the whole line of folks, and everybody. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But it seems to me that some, depending upon if they had a horse in the race, kind of that was their motivation, whether they were for or against it. And I just want to say that's why the Hair Radio Morning Show, we love the truth. We love watching the hair business. We keep a very close eye on everything that we can. And we are in the middle of everybody. We love everybody. We want everybody to be part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. We do. And I think that I think this is great, Mary. And Mary,
it's
nice
to
always
it's important
hear you.
That you get the message out. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's just good to have a place to share the message, get people thinking, get them to dig a little deeper. Very important.
Yeah.
And just be aware, increasing awareness. Thank you for continuing to provide that outlet, Carrie.
Yes, thank you, Mary. And I just want to say, folks, again, Mary Reed Johnson, you guys can hear her right here across the Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast. You know, we are right now at the point and beyond, we are kind of closing in very shortly on our 1,000th broadcast again and beyond. So you could be hearing this anytime. But I just want to say, Mary, you've been a big part of our success here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we so much appreciate you. As I opened up the segment with that, what has it meant to you being part of this Hair Radio Show? Because, and I'm going to remind everybody out there about our early days, Mary, that I remember. So, but what has it meant to you? You built a fan base of people here at the broadcast, and so many people, we listen for the next Mary Reed Johnson special that, you know, whether it's the 10 favorite type things that we didn't know or just interviews or helping us to hold down the fort. What has it meant to you with all of this, Mary Reed Johnson, Hairhead Heart?
That is a big question. But I would say pretty much everything, because you touch everything and you touch all the types of people in the industry, you know, from Willie Morrow to relatives and the legacy of different industry icons. You talked like this morning a little bit about regulatory innovations. You know, you have been boots on the ground experiencing product startup and carry through. You know, you've written a book, you know, all kinds of things. So if people are paying attention, they will absolutely glean some nuggets. And you have some wonderful co-hosts, you know, that come in and are part of the program. So, you know, if you go to Hair Radio, whichever antenna that you're part of with
Hair Radio
Network, then you will get some meat. And I think you can't even touch that. That's good.
Listen, folks, Mary, outstanding. Thank you so much. And it's hard to even think that we could ever have come this far without Mary. And I remember the first time I was just blessed to be on Mary's show. And don't know how it all happened, but that's what happened. And from there, we have been, you've been just family to our broadcast and our network. So just wanted to say thank you on that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. All right, folks. We're thanking Mary Reed Johnson again, Hairhead Heart. Check her out. And again, she'll be back soon. All right. Stay with us. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hine.
I'ma bring the, wow. Yeah. I'ma bring the, wow.
The battle between these amazing women in the hair and beauty industry at the beginning stages of everything. So I have to toss out the name to you, Annie Malone. And when someone says that to you, the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker, what goes through your mind?
Well, you know, first of all, when I was doing the research for On Her Own Ground, I wanted to make sure that I was being as accurate as possible. So I've researched, you know, to the nth degree. And I discovered a lot of material about Annie Malone. I made sure that I found out as much as I could about her. And I included her and their interactions with each other in my book. So I would say that I, perhaps more than almost anybody else up until that time, tried to talk about the conflicts between the two women, because I thought that was an important part of the story.
Absolutely.
So, and one of the things that is critical for me, and one of the things that I'm very fortunate to have, is thousands of pages of Madam Walker's correspondence and business records, and then years, decades really now, of research about her. So I document everything that I write. If it's in my book, it's because I have found not one, not two, but three or four sources to verify what I'm saying. And we're lucky that we can do that with Madam Walker, because she hired great staff and had a lawyer who kept good records. Annie Malone is much harder to document because she had a lot of turmoil in her life with a bad divorce and a husband who sabotaged her and some bad decisions on people that she hired. And so there are almost no documents and no records about her. So it's hard to, you know, hard to pull her story together. But what I have tried to do by reading dozens of old newspapers and looking at what Annie Malone was doing every step of the way whenever she was mentioned in the newspaper, and I mean dozens of newspapers, and the same with Madam Walker. Here's my conclusion. It comes to several things. They were both really important women. They were both really important pioneers of the modern hair care industry. And they were competitors. They were rivals. Madam Walker, in fact, sold Malone's products for a few months while she lived in St. Louis and after she moved to Denver. Malone accused Madam Walker of stealing her formula, but in fact, that formula was not new. It had been used for hundreds of years. It's in medical texts and pharmaceutical texts. Cuticure was already on the market. Vaseline was already on the market. These were the kinds of things that she was using. There were other people, other black people, who had products that were very similar that they called Wonderful Hair Grower that they advertised in newspapers. So these were two women who kind of were equals and rivals. Madam Walker, I think there are some reasons why she was more remembered. Madam Walker died at the height of her fame in 1919. She had just built a mansion on the Hudson River in the wealthiest community in America. She had moved, her daughter had moved to Harlem in 1913, so their profile was much higher. Malone remained in St. Louis. She married a man who really, as I say, sabotaged her.
Right.
And so I think at a really critical time in her the development of her company, she had some obstacles that were really pretty insurmountable. Now, as to the question of who was a millionaire,
yes.
As a journalist and as a historian, I'm really careful about this. And here's what I can say. When Madam Walker died in May of 1919, she was worth $1 million. We have documents. The estate had to be probated. They had to pay taxes. So her personal worth was between $600,000 and $700,000 during that period of time. It would be millions now, equal to millions now. The worth of her company, based on the sales of the last 2 years of her life, would have been somewhere between $1 million and $2 million, a lot more today translated in today's dollars. We can document that to say at the time of her death, she was a millionaire. With Malone, based on what I can see in newspaper articles, based on a lawsuit that one of her employees brought against her in 1915, I cannot see that she was a millionaire at that point. In 1927, when she and her husband were getting divorced, the newspapers call her company a million-dollar company. So that is really the first time that that appears in the news coverage. There is, and I would just add one more thing, that when she died in 1957, there was a newspaper article, either in the Chicago Defender or the Pittsburgh Courier, that says her company was worth $14 million. That number, I think, is pulled out of thin air. And by the time she died in 57, there was, you know, the company, she'd gone through bankruptcy and tax issues and all that kind of thing. So I don't think that that was an accurate number, and there's no documentation. So my conclusion is they were both really great women. They were competitors. They had a really fierce competition. And, you know, and I think Madam Walker was a millionaire. I know she was a millionaire when she died in 1919. I have not seen documentation for Malone.
That I have profited more from the negative as opposed to the positive.
Really?
Yes, because...
Negative experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I really relish and treasure them more than positive, because if I have been able to survive it and reach another level, that has given me more growth, more strength, more confidence.
Yes.
It has enriched my life more, and that's why I treasure them.
Yesterday when I walked in, I said, you know what, you guys, I just realized if I don't start showing up on time, you're going to think this is who I am. And you know what the guy said to me? This is who you are. And you know what? He was right. Because if I'm showing up two or three times and I'm calling and saying I'm going to be late, I'm showing up late, the fact is, this is who I am at the moment. The question is, do I want to continue to be that person, or do I want to be somebody new? Am I showing up late to my coaching appointments? Absolutely not. But going to that place, I've been showing up late. Now, the first couple of times that happened, I said, oh, my gosh, you know, it's just been so long since I had to get up and get dressed to leave the house to be somewhere. But I don't want that to become my crutch. 3 months later, I'm still saying, oh, my God, I haven't figured out how to be here on time. No. Because I am always preaching to other people about how they need to show up. But this is a perfect example of people starting to form an opinion of me based upon the fact that I keep saying I'm going to be somewhere at some time and I'm showing up later. What it is affecting is how they see me, and how they see me can determine whether or not, for instance, something comes up and somebody says, oh, I think Crystal would be great for this. They go, yeah, but you know, she's always late. Is this how I want to be seen? No, it's especially not how I want to be seen as a grown-ass woman, because I don't want to be passed over. I'm going to get passed over for something important because I'm showing up as somebody who can't show up on time. So if I can't do that, what else am I going to put in jeopardy if I'm being given more responsibility? And what I'm saying is I'm seeing it as it is right now. And as it is right now, I've shown up several times later than I said I was going to be there, even though I wasn't impacting anyone else. But what I am impacting is other people's opinions of me, which can have a greater impact on me when my name might come up as somebody who should be given more opportunities. They say, no, not her. So I'm looking in the mirror at myself.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special surprise guest today for you guys. We are welcoming back with such great honor and joy one of our favorite folks out there in the hair radio world. It's our dear, dear good friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the one and only superstar, Captain Smash. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my honor. And like I said, it's a great pleasure to welcome you back. Captain Smash, we go back. Now, we go way back on this broadcast.
Yeah.
You were one of our first true radio superstars to come out and help us to promote and talk about the Hair Radio Show, talk about your success in the hair and beauty industry. You've carved your own lane, literally. And you were the very first to talk about being a going-home specialist, being a custom tailor. And so for the listeners out there who today may not know what that means, tell us what a custom tailor and a going-home specialist is all about.
A custom tailor is the person that creates the look, you know, whether it's the hair, the eyelashes, the glitz, the glam, the smell, the aroma, the atmosphere in the room, the beauty of the going home. All right? So,
amazing. So that you might work for the family directly, or you might be called to perform services in tandem with a funeral home or something like that. Am I correct?
That's right. I tend to work with families directly because you have the option to hire an outside person, and that's what I would be, the custom tailor. That giving you things that maybe, you know, your in-city director can't provide, you know, because they're trained on the basics.
Yes, wow. Well, and I want to paint the – I see. I want to definitely paint the picture for everybody here. So unlike a regular – like here in the Northeast, we have these funerals and things like that. You go into like a funeral home or a church or what have you, and you see the person, of course, there, and, you know, they're lying in state, if you will. But I should say lying in state, but they're, you know, you're familiar with that. That's the traditional funeral. But what you provide is something a little different. This could be somebody sitting at a table playing cards. If their favorite game was spades when they were alive, they might you might have them sitting up in their living room playing cards. So when folks piled in, as opposed to going to, say, a regular funeral, they're coming in, sitting down, perhaps, and seeing the decedent at the table playing cards.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's the new thing now. You know,
wow.
You want to give as much love and remembrance as possible.
Wow. Well, I have to say that it's still, you know, you've been on our show for many years, and I have to always still take a pause for a moment and let that kind of sink on in. It's really true. Listen, Captain Smash, I want to tell you, first of all, this is 2023. We're just so excited to welcome you back to in the family here and in the broadcast world. Now, I have to say, you know, there was some big thing that happened recently right here. You know, we have a classic interview with Captain Smash, which is just, it's literally known everywhere. There was this huge story that, you know, you guys are familiar with, you know, from tuning into our broadcast. But what it boils down to, and we'll play a little
part of it so that you guys can definitely follow along here. And my favorite part of this, Captain Smash, is that we always get feedback from the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show about your interview. Mm-hmm. And it happened again. And oh, the feedback wow. came, yes, indeed. The feedback came and they said, well, you know what? And I'm paraphrasing, but they said, yeah, it was Captain Smashbox. Captain Smashbox. I said, what? And I didn't say anything else, but I said, okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what Captain Smash, after all these years, mm-hmm. and it's been several years now, what do you say when folks, what do you say when someone says that? Do you think, how do you feel about that? Let me just phrase
well,
it that
I,
way.
Well, I do feel that the people knows best. Okay. I do feel that the people know best. So I will give them that. And, you know, sometimes things are out of our hands and just completely out of our control.
And in this case, literally out of the hands.
Literally
the horse is
out
took
of
off.
Control. Yes. So I just ask the people to be more compassionate for me and you just cut me a little slack on this one.
No, we have. And we were just chiding you here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate mm-hmm. you. Thought we'd toss it there to you this morning. Captain Smash, I want to turn to something else, and this is where you, being so wise and in my opinion, ahead of your time, when we were early right. on just getting the Hair Radio Show off the ground, the Hair Radio right. Morning Show, because the original show aired in 1995, mm-hmm. but in 2015 we brought it back as a morning edition. And mm-hmm. since then, you know, we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows, literally,
right.
that we've done. But you saw us early. Can you tell us about your early experiences hiring Hair Radio to promote you and put you out there? Do you remember those days?
Oh, man. It was just the beginning of everything for me. Let's just say that. If I was to describe it, I would say the beginning of everything, the beginning of the limelight, the beginning of my voice, the beginning of the stardom track. And I learned a lot, and Hair Radio carried me so far to I just can't describe the excitement and how happy and how Hair Radio changed my life.
Oh.
Hair Radio.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back live. It's Tuesday morning, and I have to just say it's Vet Talk Radio Show.
Oh,
Michael
yes.
Hopkins, officially again. Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie Hines.
Awesome. Listen, I just wanted to take a moment. It's fantastic that we get an opportunity to do the show super-duper live. And I'm excited. I really am. So let's kind of get things moving along today. First, I know that you have a huge topic that you've been wanting to kind of continue with right here on the Vet Talk Radio Show. And then
Very
we have an announcement. I think folks are going to love what you've got to share in just a bit. So, Michael, let's go ahead and get started. I know this is a topic that is important to you and the fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show. So please, let's talk about being able to have proper representation. We're just going to kind of put it on out there, Michael. Hopkins.
Oh, yes, Carrie. We're just going to break it on down, Carrie.
Break it on down.
And Carrie, we have been talking about the pros and cons of choosing a claims representative. Very important.
Yeah.
You know, it is it is so important to pick the right person or the right organization for you as a veteran.
Well, Michael, how difficult is it, though, for the veterans to, you know, to pick out the right representative to help them with their claims process? How challenging can that be?
Carrie, yes, it can be challenging. It can be very challenging because, as you know, as veterans, this is all new ground for us as veterans when we're choosing a rep. This is all new ground. It's not like, Carrie, when you're getting out of the military, you know, years and years ago, and a lot of us got out. It's not like somebody came up to us or they gave us a class in how to do this. It just didn't happen. Fortunately now, Carrie Hines, the younger veterans coming through, or they're about to be veterans. Let me put it that way. They're about to be veterans. They're still active duty service members. They get a lot of coaching and a lot of help with choosing a rep.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Yeah, it's a great thing. But for those of us that, you know, we're in the other generations of military people, of service members, it can be difficult because you just don't know. You don't know who to pick, why you're picking them. And that's the reason why I came up with this topic.
Well,
that is the reason why,
Michael, it is a great topic. Let me just say that. And we just want to make sure that everybody really gets this, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And you've done a previous show or two leading into this great conversation. We want to make sure first and salute all the veterans.
Very much so. We appreciate you. We salute you this morning.
And Michael, yourself is a disabled veteran, an accredited claims agent.
I have to shout out to my group of veterans, my claims hunters, my club, my organization, my team. I have to shout out to all of you out there. You know, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
And if you want to be a claims hunter, we're going to tell you all about that coming up in
just a little bit.
How you can also join Michael's fan club. So, Michael, I've got to say, it is just great to be with you, to be with all the veterans. And we're live this morning, just so you know.
Yes, we are.
We're sitting here live. And we're so proud to have connected with you guys. So, Michael, I'm excited about this topic. Please continue.
Yes, sir. Carrie, we have what's known as VSOs or Veteran Services Officers. It can also stand for Veteran Services Organization. And that's one of the choices of most veterans is to align themselves with a VSO or rep from one of these organizations. There are several fine organizations out there, Carrie Hines, several fine organizations, organizations such as the Disabled American Veterans, other known as the DAV. We also have the American Legion, AMVETS. And the states here in the United States, each state has a state-run organization for veterans that has VSO.
Wow.
Most people
don't know that, Carrie.
Yeah,
no.
most people don't know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what's the benefit of those individual VSOs? I mean, of the organizations, of doing that, setting them up, you know, with each state or within each state. I wonder,
Carrie,
why was that so necessary? Yeah.
One of the benefits of having, being with a VSO or an organization, it is that four-letter word that most of us love to hear. You know what that word is, Carrie Hines?
What's that, Michael?
It is F-R-E-E.
Free cost the dime.
Service. Don't cost you nothing. You know, I should write that as a song, don't cost you nothing. But but yeah, it doesn't cost anything to go to one of these organizations and join or ask for help or get them to represent you. It's free. I mean, what else can you say about free, Carrie Hines?
Yeah.
Free. And they represent you as a veteran, which is a great thing. It is a great thing. As we talked about this previously, some of the other organizations that may not be accredited, just like that's another pro thing. They're authorized by the VA and they're authorized by the government. Present veterans, the DAV, American Legion, AMVETS, these organizations, they're recognized by government entities. So, you know, you can't beat that. If you join an organization or you get help from an organization that is recognized by the federal government and by state government. So they can be held accountable. That's another good thing. They can be held accountable for helping you file your claims for compensation.
Wow. See
that, you know, it's great. They're local too, Carrie. It's not like I'm talking to a guy in Alaska and I'm in Virginia. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't have to do a Zoom, you know, or any of that stuff.
Sense of community also talking.
Right.
In.
Yeah, very much so, Carrie. Very much so. You know, they live in the community. They're there. They're live. You can see them, touch them, that kind of thing. That makes a lot of veterans feel comfortable because it's not like you're dealing with a stranger. Another one of the things about when you're dealing with people that are DAV, American Legion, AMVETS, state-run, and then state-run organizations, the majority of the time, Carrie Hines, guess what they are?
What's that, huh?
They're veterans just like you, just like me. They're veterans. So who better do you feel comfortable with is another veteran. A lot of them are disabled American veterans, just like you coming to them asking for help, been through what you're going through. They feel what you feel. They have the same emotions. They may be a combat vet. They may be a regular, just non-combat veteran, but they're disabled veteran because what happened, Carrie? Something happened to them while they were in active duty military service. They may have been deployed as a National Guardsman or a reservist. So they understand you. It's not like you're talking to somebody they've never served in the military, but they want to help you file for claims. Many veterans feel a little uncomfortable with that, Carrie. They feel a little uncomfortable.
Rightfully so.
Very much so.
Yes. Well, listen, Michael, we continue with this, and today you're looking at, I say, different representation of sorts, but it's important for the veteran to know in terms of getting claims assistance.
Right.
Which way to go. And you're kind of giving them that wonderful roadmap.
Very much so.
That you do so often here on the program.
Very
I'm
much
super
so.
Excited about it. Okay,
now,
Michael, please continue. Sure.
Right. Now, we're going to have to touch on, unfortunately, Carrie Hines, there are some, I guess you could say, maybe con, or there are some things that when you're dealing with VSOs, unfortunately, these things happen. And one of the things that happens, Carrie, they are more veterans than they are VSOs, these organizations and people. They are more veterans. You know, literally, Kerry Hines, literally every day, 365 days a year, guess what? There is a new veteran. There's a new veteran. 365 days a year, 7 days a week, there's a veteran that is either retiring from the military or they what we call it ETS, or their end of time in service. They're getting out. They did 4 years, 3 years, 10 years, 8 years, 6 years, whatever it is they did, and they're getting out.
Wow.
So you have the newer veterans that are getting out. Then you have older veterans who are finally, maybe after 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they decide they want to file a claim for compensation. You know, their buddies told them, hey, man, you got hurt in the military. I was standing there when it happened to you. You should file. And a lot of us, this thing called life gets in the way. We're raising a family. We're going to work. We're doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, we retire from a job, or we get to a point we can no longer work because of the injuries or illnesses that we sustained while on active duty. It just happens. It catches up with you. Next thing you know, you've got injuries or illnesses that no longer allow you to work, or you can work in a limited capacity. It happens.
Yeah.
But they're more veterans than they are VSOs. Unfortunately, Kerry, what does that lead to? It leads to a limited times for appointments.
You know, sure.
You have
because
to.
You have a huge, mm-hmm. you've been a huge amount of veterans, and you have
right, very
not
much
so many of the VSO.
Right.
Folks. Okay. Wow.
Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's some people volunteer as VSOs. Some of the state-run organizations, they're actually state employees. So it varies. It just varies.
And, Michael, what about the level of service? Because you just mentioned the folks who become the VSOs, they can be selected. Or talk a little bit more again about that process, because I think it's important that
right,
folks know.
Right, very important, Kerry. You're absolutely right. It is very important because, unfortunately, when you're dealing with a large number of veterans like this, their time is limited. They may only have an hour to talk to a veteran, where it may take 3 hours in real time to help a veteran file for a claim, to review their medical mm-hmm. records and find out a strategy for them and all that. Sometimes they only have maybe an hour per veteran. And
because they have so many to see.
Yeah, it's so many veterans. And then you know, another thing too, Kerry, it depends upon how often they can meet with veterans. Some of the volunteer organizations, depending upon where you are in the United States, they may only meet with veterans once a week. Might be once a month, two or three times a month. It might be they meet a whole group of veterans, and you have to stand in line in order for them to look at your records or file for you. So it varies across the United States. And also with the follow-up, you get denied, say, for example, you get denied a claim. Sometimes it takes research to find out why you got denied and what to do. What lane do I go down? What's the strategy? Sometimes it's hard for a lot of the VSOs to do a follow-up because, once again, Kerry, they have so many people. So it's kind of an unfortunate thing, but this is what happens.
Well, listen, this is one of those topics, Michael, that is truly going to continue and literally go on with us. I know how important it is to you to spell it all out for everybody and the veterans, my heart just goes out. So knowing which way to go to get the best help can save a lot of grief and more can save a lot of time.
Very much so, Carrie.
So I love this whole thing. So I know that you'll be covering this each week. So, Michael, for today, because I know you have some big, big news that you want to get into this morning on this live Vet Talk radio show with Michael Hopkins. So, Michael, anything just to kind of close out today on this whole on the topic that we're covering again on representation and what they can look forward to in weeks to come.
Wow, Gary. Oh, yes. Yes, very much so. On this particular topic, there are still some organizations and some people that we need to talk about. And in weeks to come, we're going to talk about a few more entities that veterans, the advocates of veterans, their families, and anybody interested in helping veterans should be aware of. And that's I'm looking forward to that too.
Awesome. And so am I, Michael Hopkins, along with all the fans of VTR. Now listen, I am so excited really about this announcement that I'm literally ready to burst here and just... So, Michael Hopkins,
bursting at the seams, right?
Bursting at the seams, that's what they said. On behalf of all of the Hair Radio Morning Show, the Vet Talk Radio Show, the fans, this was so important to do what we've just done. So we are so happy to unveil to everybody. But, Michael, I'm going to let you do the honors. So please, Michael Hopkins, what can you tell everybody that's available to them now?
Wow, Carrie. Wow. And you're absolutely right. It is just fantastic. It really is. And what Carrie Hines is talking about is Michael Hopkins, ACA.com. That
is our very own website,
complete with, Carrie, drum roll. It has the 24-hour. It's got that. It also has the 24-hour network. You can hear Michael Hopkins talking about the claims process, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It has been a dream that has come true, Carrie Hines.
Yes, I'm super excited. So what this is all about, a while ago, we really had this concept Michael Hopkins did, which was to create a network, a radio network. You only have to listen to it. That's accessible around the clock. Now, you have to go online. You have to go online to, but you could do so through your laptop, through your tablet, through your cell phone, to MichaelHopkinsAC.com. Now, we're still kind of rearranging the furniture, so we'll be doing that. But you can see the play button as an early preview, especially if you're on your laptop. We've got it all set up on the
Very
laptop.
Very much so, Carrie. Laptop is the best way to go.
Yes, for now.
Best way to go.
And then a little later in the day or two, we'll get the mobile view together and the tablet view. But just so that you know, this is all being done for you guys out there. And
very much
so. When you go to that website and click the play button, you'll see the little arrow up there. It'll take you to Michael Hopkins. He's on right now. Michael, you're there. You're in two places at once, literally.
Two places at the same time. I'm a twin.
There you go.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, this is something that's very important. We'll be working on this website. It's not just going to play around the clock, which is fantastic, and it's awesome just to do that by itself. But you'll also, to all the veterans, you'll be able to find information there
very much
as well,
so, Carrie.
It'll be a resource, right, Michael?
Yes, that's the beautiful thing about it, Carrie. It is so much beautiful information about the claims process.
Yeah.
And I break it on down. So
yeah.
that, you
yeah.
know, and as you know, Carrie, the claims process can be very intimidating to a lot of veterans. It can be very intimidating because there's there's so many steps and parts, and I have to know this, and well, what happens if that happened? Well, what happened is this, and what we've done is we broke it down so that
well, you put it in bite-sized pieces, Michael.
Yeah, bite-sized nuggets. It's like
bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, you know, Carrie, it's like that. It's like the joke that says, how do you eat the elephant? And it's one bite at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we've done. It's one bite at a time. So you're not intimidated. You're not in awe. You're learning. And that's what this whole thing is all about. It's about educating veterans, the advocates of veterans, their families, anybody that's interested in just learning about this whole process. Like we always say, Carrie, you don't have to be a veteran to tune in, to listen, to go to this format, to go to michaelhopkinsaca.com. You don't have to be a veteran. You can be somebody that has an interest in what is it about veterans. There's so many, as we call them, civilians out there that they have no idea about the whole veteran thing. And they think, oh, you know, the government takes care of the vets, and they kind of put it on the back burner. But the reality
to say that, Michael, I think we're looking at a great way to educate everybody.
Right.
And
I think that's
the way I look at it with MichaelHopkinsACA.com. Let's use this as an opportunity to inform and educate everyone, whether you
Very
are
much
a
so.
Veteran or not. Obviously, we want to be doing the work of facilitating, you know, the claims process. That is critical to folks who deserve so much more than we could ever give them, and that's to our veterans.
Very much so.
Very proud of this.
I'm excited.
The website.
I'm excited.
MichaelHopkinsACA.com. And again, the very first 24-hour Veterans Radio Network on claims. So it's playing there. So we're real happy about that. Again, we're going to clean up the mobile site. So if you're on your cell phone, I'm going to be doing the rearranging this morning on that. And should be ready this afternoon where it's all nice and looking all fancy for you. But if you're on your laptop, that view is already done. So all that's in order. And we'll be working on the tablet view and the mobile view in just a bit to make sure that you have a great place to hear all of this 24 hours a day.
I'm really excited, Carrie. I'm really excited with this. Really excited. And it's so beautiful that the site is, it really is beautiful. And as you said,
you know,
there's adjustments and so forth, but it is just my hat is off to you, Carrie Hines. You've done so much for veterans, Carrie, in the last 3 years, the three seasons that I've been on. You have done so much for veterans, Carrie. Like I said, you know, you're an honorary veteran. In my eyes, you're an honorary veteran because you've been so passionate about getting the word out for veterans. You know, you have. And there's no other there's no other words to say about Carrie Hines. Carrie Hines is just, he's been in this business. He is just a dynamite guy. He's an upright guy.
Michael.
I mean, he
well,
just...
Well, if I didn't know any better, actually, you were describing Michael Hopkins. So, listen, we just love you guys out there. We appreciate you hanging in there with us as we continue to develop this. I'm so excited Michael,
very
there's a lot
so.
Coming down the pike for Michael Hopkins and for all
oh,
the veterans.
Very much so.
This is going to be really, we're just getting started. So so we just want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you because I appreciate not being a veteran, but learning all that you have helped me to learn about the plight of what the veterans are going through. So I appreciate that. And we're going to do everything in our power to make it a little bit, just a jot easier, just a tad easier each week.
Very much, very much, Carrie. That's the name of the game. Just make it easier because, you know, a lot of times that's what veterans need. They just need something that's easy. You know, they don't get stressed. And that's what I love what we do here with Vet Talk Radio
well,
Show here on the Hair Radio. Yes.
Michael, you have been doing a fabulous job. Just remind everybody, though, again, the new website, we're working on it. You can still go
very
there.
Very much so.
If you do nothing but just hit the play button so that you can hear the around-the-clock talk. So I'm super excited. I can't wait. After we wrap today's Hair Radio Morning Show and the Vet Talk show within a show, in just a couple minutes, we're going to go over there to your new website and to all the veterans. We can't do enough at the Vet Talk Radio Show. So I'm just honored to be part of this process, Michael. Thank you and thank the veterans for accepting me. So now, Michael, what can we look forward to? I mean, you're about to embark on season 4. What can we look forward to?
Oh, Carrie, the thing that we're going to be looking forward to is getting out there and just talking to veterans. And there are some dynamite veterans out here that their stories need to be told. We got business owner veterans. We got athlete veterans. We have veterans that are Medal of Honor winners. We have all kinds of veterans out there. And their story needs to be told. And in the fourth season that's coming up, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be telling the stories of these individual veterans so that they can motivate.
Michael, thank you. And let's just be clear to everybody real quick. Good morning, 8:30 in the morning live show that you're listening to right now, which plays on the Hair Radio Morning Show Network. That's still going to continue. Every Tuesday,
very
we're live
so.
Right here. On top of that, Michael has this 24-hour network at michaelhopkinsaca.com that plays around the clock, classic segments, wonderful episodes, and you'll be able to listen along with so much new things that he has planned and that we have put together. So please remember that michaelhopkinsaca.com is 24 hours a day. And that every Tuesday you can still catch the show by dialing in to 516 as you've been doing and listening live to the Vet Talk Radio Show. So nothing changes on Tuesday mornings at 8:30. We're still here. Is that not fabulous, Michael?
Yes, it is. Very much so, Carrie.
Okay. All right, Michael. So let's just say goodbye to everybody. We'll see everybody next time for the next Vet Talk Radio Show. Outstanding job, Michael.
Oh, yeah.